I just want to let you know if you've heard that before. Matter of fact, how many of you did hear something like that? And how many of you never heard anything about it? And so there you go. There you go. Sometimes you hear bad news, it's like just if you just wait a while, a lot of times it just goes away. One other thing is that we have, this year we took $20 million in pledges for our Pervasive Hope campaign, which is to get the gospel to every person, every street in San Diego and beyond. And one of our initiatives in raising that money for was to multi-site. So we are just about ready to pull our permit on the East County building. Problem is we don't have to, wait, okay, very good, very good. Problem is we don't have the money. We don't have the money to start construction. So in addition, we have an opportunity through B of A to cut our interest rate on our loan more than 50% to under 3%. And so, but we have to raise $8 million in the next 2 months to get both those things done. Now, for all y'all who are shuddering, that is an incredible opportunity. We'll see what God's going to do. If God brings in the money, we'll be able to move forward. We want to refinance first because that'll save us $1.5 million a year. And so we want to get that done first as soon as we can. And, of course, the bank's not going to hold that interest rate forever. And we also want to start construction. And so when we took the pledges, we'll do whatever we get the money to do. And so we should be getting our permit in a couple weeks out in East County, give or take. And if we have the money to refi and do that, we will do it. And if we don't, we'll just wait and we'll just keep you up to date. Amen. And so if you pledge to Pervasive Hope, if you can give as much as you can up front so we can get these things done, we got great opportunities. And then if we don't, we don't. And if you're just new and you say, you know what, I want to write a check, we will take your check. just write in the memo, Pervasive Hope, or PH. And our stance on money is this. God has very clearly told us what to do with our money, but in the end, you have to be obedient. And we're just going to tell you what the need is and put it out there to you, and then you do what you want, and then God will do what he wants. Amen? Amen. So let's pray, and then we'll get this party started. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your goodness. And we just thank you that you love us. Thank you that you got good plans for us today. In Jesus' name, and in nombre de Jesus, amen. It's the best Spanish I know, is that three words. Let's see your Bible say. Let's see your Bible say word. One more time, say word. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. And as you turn there, next week, Michael Jr. will be here. If you don't know if you remember him. How many of y'all do not know who Michael Jr. is? Okay, he's a very funny individual. We're going to be up here together. We were together here about 2 months ago, and he was hilarious. He's hilarious. Lord, thank you so much. Bless us today. In Jesus' name, amen. It seems like almost on a weekly basis, there is some celebrity in the news who we all love, somebody. There's a great actor, actress, athlete, someone we look up to, getting in trouble. You know, Robert Downey Jr., who is a great actor, he's in all these movies, Sherlock Holmes and the Avenger and all this stuff, and then he's in court. Lindsay Lohan, who's always in trouble, is a very talented actress. I remember she was in a little show when she was a little girl, when she actually played her own twin. What was the name of that movie? Parent Trap. I watched Parent Trap probably 30 times because my kids were little and we just watched it. And plus, it was very entertaining. Chad Ochocinco, actually Chad Johnson, who became Ochocinco, now he's Chad Johnson again, who was really a nice guy. I mean, a friend of mine played with him, and he said when he would go to a city to play a game, he would tweet out, "Meet the first X people who would meet me at this restaurant, I'll buy you dinner." And he paid 10 grand to buy everybody dinner for free. Really great guy. But then he's in the news. And these people who are, on one hand, they're very talented, seem like very nice people, have these flaws. And they are just like everybody in this room, everybody listening online, and all of us. Amen? And because we are all flawed and fabulous at the same time. A friend of mine hit me with this term, flawed and fabulous. We were talking about some stuff, and she just hit me with this idea that we are all flawed. Everyone say flawed. Say fabulous. And then say at the same time. Say at the same time. Now, I just want you to think about this for a minute. You are flawed. That means you lie. Amen? I mean, we lie. We bend the truth. Some people straight up lie, and then we bend the truth. We delay the truth. We kind of play, you know, we're like this with the truth. It's called lying, okay? However you want to cut it, it's lying. We're prideful. Amen? Egotistical, jealous, envy. We cheat. Some of y'all cheat. I don't cheat on my wife. Yeah, I don't cheat on my wife. I will get caught before it happens. So my wife, you know, we were somewhere the other day. Oh, we were where we were. We were on vacation. I heard this pastor once say, "I'm happy to be wherever I am." And we're sitting in the hotel, just sitting in the. When we go on vacation, we really don't do a whole lot. We like do hardly nothing. And so we're sitting in the hallway of the hotel, just looking out the window, literally. People walking by, "Hey, are you Pastor Miles?" I'm like, I literally said no. So we always say, I can't get caught. I'll get caught doing anything. So anyway, we do all these things, and we have all these flaws. But at the same time, you are fabulous. You really are amazing. That God made you in His image, every single one of you. He's given you the ability to love. He's given you the ability to be compassionate. He's given you intelligence. Some of you have given. He's given you communication skills. Some of you have given you math skills. Some of you can write. Some of you can't add, but you can write words. Some of you can write words, but you can't add. Like one and one is three to you. Some are very good listeners, counselors, encouragers, teachers, motivators. God has made you in His image, like Him. Some of you are really creative, artistically, painting, ideas, whatever it is. You are fabulous. At the same time, you are flawed. And we have a problem reconciling. Which one are we? You're both. You really are. You're both. And when you see people mess up, a lot of times we want to pigeonhole them to only be flawed. Or we want to elevate them to only be fabulous. But we have a hard time reconciling the fact that they're both. People are human. You know that really nice people will mess up. Give them a break. They're flawed and fabulous. And then really messed up people have really good sides too. I don't know if you've ever been to a prison. I talk about going to prison all the time. I can't encourage you enough to go to prison. I mean, visit. Don't get clinked up. Oh yeah, Pastor Miles is going to get arrested. To go to a prison, go talk to someone who's down in their luck outside of prison, and you will find that they are fabulous, just like you. Now, the part about the one flaw I want to focus on today, and as I start the series called Family Origins next week, this word that I'm going to tell you in a minute is going to be very important when we talk about family. And the word is called shame. Shame, if you look in your notes, guilt is I did something wrong. Shame is I am something wrong. Now, when I talk about being flawed, we have a lot of flaws in the sense that, you know, we may bend the truth. Some people bend the truth more than others. Some people have a lust issue. Some people are have an envy issue, a jealousy issue. You know, we steal. And we have all these flaws. Shame, guilt is, here are all the things I do wrong. Shame takes it another level, another step, and it says, not only do you do something wrong, which is guilt, shame is, I am something wrong. Shame makes our flaws worse because it goes from what we do to what we are. Matter of fact, it's just through your little comparisons. I'm embarrassed because I got caught doing something wrong. Shame is that I got caught being something wrong. I'm discouraged because I'm not doing my job. Shame is I'm not being the person I'm supposed to be. We look bad. Shame says you are bad. Shame is takes one wrong act and it turns you into being a wrong person. Takes it to a whole nother level. Now, why is this critical? Because if you live with shame, and this is in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, talks about a weight that you carry that entangles you and prevents you from being obedient to God. If you live with shame where you are something wrong, you will spend your whole life trying to climb out of this hole to be something different. And you're flawed. It goes to how you self-identify. Now, in the story we're going to look at, it's a story about a woman who had a blood flow for 12 years. Now, when I say blood flow, women have their blood flow every month. Okay? And in Jesus, in the Old Testament culture, Jesus' culture, which is now New Testament, when you had your blood flow, you were religiously unclean. In other words, you couldn't go around people. You couldn't, if you touched something, it was unclean. So if someone touched that, they were religiously unclean. They couldn't worship. They couldn't fellowship. They couldn't associate. So when you had your blood flow as a woman, you had to go outside of the town, especially in Old Testament. You had to go outside of the, away from people because it was not sanitary. Okay, so this woman, not only did she have a blood flow, she had it for 12 years. Just saying. She was sick. She spent all her money trying to get well, and no doctor could help her. So she was sick. She was upset. She was ostracized. She was labeled because if you had an illness, they associated that illness with sin. So here's this woman walking around with this label. She has more than an ailment. She is now, her ailment has become who she is. A lot of times, our sin in our mind becomes who we are. In other words, it's not something you do, it becomes who you are. And this is, that's what the devil wants you to think, that I am a messed up person. I am unacceptable. I'm not worthy. I am not enough. And you carry around this burden with you for a long time. Matter of fact, we're going to talk about how your family can give you that burden. Culture can give you that burden. A lot of ladies walk around with this burden. I have to be 105 pounds. I have to be, and I don't understand clothes sizes, but I have to be a 1 or a 2. Is that about something like that? Well, you know what? Whatever it is you, whatever size you are, a 1, a 2, a 3, a 4, I don't know how high the numbers get, so I'll just stop right there. But whatever it is, culture says you got to be 1 or 2 sizes smaller. Who says? Let it flow, sister. Let it flow. Give a brother something to hold on to. Don't be bones. Now, if you want to be thin, fine. But if you want to have some poundage, good, go for it. You know. But see, culture will tell you unless you look like this, unless your hair is like this. What's ironic is that people with straight hair want to get kinky hair, and then people with kinky hair want to get straight hair. So backwards. People with thin lips want to get big lips. It's like the culture says this is what you have to, and it shames you and says how God made you is not good enough. And you walk around with this burden. Sometimes your church can give you that shame. Say you're never good enough before God. I'm going to tell you God loves you this much. Now, are you good enough to earn his love? No. It's called grace. You get it for free. He just accepts you. We're going to talk about that in a minute. So in this story, this woman is bleeding for 12 years, and she has no hope of getting rid of the blood. And by the way, the blood flow now redefines who she is. She's got some sin in her life. And then maybe it's sexual. You know how gossip goes. Gossip just makes the story worse as time goes on. And then she's going to come and she's going to hear about Jesus. Everyone say, Jesus. She's going to hear about Jesus and she's going to say, you know what? I have hope that my shame can be taken from me. So I want to encourage you today. Whatever you think about yourself, God thinks about you better. If you think you are not enough, God says you are enough. Just the way you are. Now, is he going to leave you that way? Absolutely not. But he wants to accept you just the way you are. You may identify with this woman in the story. Please identify with this woman in the story. Because you are flawed, but you are also fabulous. Let's look, chapter 5, verse 25. It says a certain woman had a blood flow of 12 years. Anyone say 12 years? Say, ouch. She has suffered many things from many physicians, experts, and she has spent all she had and was no better. Rather, she grew worse. One of the things that makes our ailments, our flaws worse is shame, because it goes from being sick and having an illness or weakness to being a bad person. In other words, God must be punishing me. I got a haircut yesterday. And I had never gotten a haircut by this guy before. And he was saying, you know, what kind of haircut do you want, blah, 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 blah. And for all of y'all who use clippers to get your haircut, there's a one, which is really close. The one clipper is really close. And then there's a two. And the bigger the number, the more hair to leave behind. So I said, I want a one here, then grade it up to a two, blah, 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 and take a little bit off the top, blah, blah. I want you to just give me short hair, but just long enough so it's a little wavy. Got to have the waves. I don't want it to be prickly. Just want to, the marine cut, I got to have it laid back. But I want to be as short as you can make it so it still lays back so I can put my silky smooth on it and it can be still shiny. Fabulous, right? It's fabulous. And he did a fantastic job, fantastic job. But what happens is when you get a haircut, each clipper takes off a different amount of hair for a reason. You want it to be styled a certain amount of way. When you go through trials, sometimes a trial will be big and sometimes a trial will be small. It doesn't mean God loves you any less or more. He's just doing something different in your life. And next week may be a one. He may be cutting it real close in your life. And a month from later, you may have a little trial. It's just that don't think that because you're going through something that's really hard or a really long time, that God feels about you any differently. He loves you the same. He's just doing something different in your life at that moment to teach you something that's specific for that moment. That's it. But he loves you no more, no less. Same. And so this woman, she's going through this trial, and the Bible says she grew worse. She didn't grow worse because God loved her any less. And by the way, one of the things that probably grew worse in her, and I'm guessing at this point, is that people started talking about her more. That's what we do to each other. Oh, they must be really bad. Oh, they must be going through and we start guessing and gossiping. And if it's happening to you, you start to feel worse, and you start to feel more discouraged. Even if the sickness is the same, it's just lingering. But you get more discouraged, you carry more shame. There's something wrong with me. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people who've had a trial go for a long time, and they say, why is it not going away? As though there was supposed to be a timetable on it. God never promised you how long it would stay. But in your mind, you're thinking it should be gone by now. And if it's not going by now, it must be me. God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are his thoughts above our thoughts. Let him do what he's going to do. Look what it says. Verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his clothes. What did she hear about Jesus? Oh, he healed the blind. Spit in the ground, made mud, put in the guy's eyes. Said, go wash your face in the pool. Put in the blind guy's eyes. The guy said, I'm going to wash my face, then I'm going to come back and get you for spitting in my eye. Guy washed his face, and his sight came. Someone was deaf. He put his hands in their ears and prayed, and their hearing came. He spit on the guy's tongue, and he could speak. Little girl, 12 years old, rose from the dead. Actually, Jesus rose three people from the dead. He walked on water. He touched the leper. She heard all about this, and she said, you know, the doctors can't help me. By the way, doctors got all respect for doctors, but they call you practicing physicians. You're still practicing, still learning, and I don't think any doctor would deny that. Jesus is the great physician. He's not practicing. He's just doing it. And so she said, I've been with the practicing physicians. And by the way, we all got practicing physicians we deal with. We always got to go to the great physician. She goes, he's the great physician. He's been doing what none of the doctors can do, so I'm going to go to him. You need to understand Jesus can do what nobody else can do. Can't do what any pastor can do, any rabbi. Well, he can do what only God can do. So she hears about him. She says, I'm going to go behind him, and I'm going to touch his clothes right here. Bat out. Look what it says. It says in verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his clothes. So she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I may be well. If only you had that much faith. Dear God, I don't need you to show up in my room. I don't need you to do anything. Just touch me. I trust you. God's looking for people like that who would just accept the fact that you believe he's God. You believe Jesus died and rose from the dead. You can go to the tomb. It's empty. See it for yourself if that's the proof you want. But she said, if all I got to do is touch his clothes because I believe that much. Look what it says. Verse 29, immediately, everyone say immediately. The fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. grace, everyone say grace. Shame says, I am not acceptable. And in order for me to be accepted, I must become acceptable. And in order for me to become acceptable, I must do something. I must look better. I must accomplish something. I must earn a certain amount of money. I must have a certain kind of car. And once I have those things, or I must brown nose somebody, unless I do those things, I'll be acceptable by them person. Only problem is shame doesn't stop there. As soon as you do that, then you got to do something else. And it just strings you out for your whole life. Grace says you are accepted even though you are not acceptable. In other words, you're flawed. God is perfect. You're not acceptable with your flaws. But grace says, I'm going to accept you anyway. I'm going to say that one more time, and I'm going to say it a little slower. Probably a little different, because I didn't remember exactly what I said. Shame says you're not acceptable because of your flaws. If you were to stand before God and say, God, here's my fabulousness and here's all my flaws, God says, you know, because of your flaws, I can't accept that into heaven. You're not good enough. Okay, God, I'm going to go try. Stop. No matter how much you try, you can never be acceptable in your own power. But guess what? Because I love you based on grace, I'm going to accept you even though you're not acceptable. In other words, you can bring all your junk. You don't have to come to God trying to hide. You know, when we wear clothes for a lot of reasons, but mostly for privacy's sake. Amen. Because as fabulous as you are, people are nasty naked. People are nasty naked. He asked me to say it again. I was at, years ago, I was vacationing that with some friends in Canada. They lived on this lake, and right next to their property was a nudist beach. Ew! Ew! We wear clothes for privacy's sake. Okay. Because we want to hide, and the clothes make us look better than we really are. We put makeup, well, we, yes, and I even have makeup on right now. You put makeup on to hide stuff or to make it look better for whatever reason. Okay. It's fake. It's not real. God sees past all that. Because we can't put anything on our soul to hide it from God. So he looks at our soul and he goes, I see wickedness. The Bible says out of the heart comes adulteries and murders and lies and cheats out of the heart. So God looks at our heart and he goes, you know what? I know you say you love me and I know you want to love me, but I'm seeing a bunch of junk in your heart. But you know what? I'm going to accept you anyway. That's grace. And no matter how hard you try to cover it up, no matter how hard you try to remove it, you can't. But grace says, that's okay. I'll do it. I'll do it. So this woman comes to Jesus. She got all these issues. She got all the shame. She has all this physical disease. She got all this ailments. And she says, if I could only touch him by faith, he will heal me. And the Bible says, immediately. Look what it says in verse 29. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out, he turned around and said, who touched me? Whenever Jesus asks a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. Now you'll see Jesus throughout the Bible who asks a lot of questions, like a little boy was demon-possessed. He said, well, how long has this been happening to him, to the dad? He knows. He's asking a question for everybody else, so everybody else can hear the answer. Who's going to step up and respond to my question? And the Bible says he felt the power go out of him. He's very sensitive. When you pray, he's very sensitive to your needs. He's very sensitive to your needs before you even pray. And look what it says. His disciple says, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened, came, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. Look in your notes. God's grace covers your shameful flaws. I can't stress this to you enough. You may think you got more sin than the next person. You don't know the next person. And you don't know your own sin. You may think you got to go change stuff, fix stuff, acquire stuff, achieve stuff before you become acceptable to man. And that may be true for some shallow men, people, that you have to be a certain status before they love you. That's not how it is with God. God says you can't do enough, so stop trying. Just let me love you. You may be like this woman. You've been carrying around a burden of your sin. We all have sin. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Just bring your sin to God. And by the way, in your pride, think you can go do something good enough to be acceptable to God. That's a prideful thought in of itself. Just come to God and say, God, here's my sin. The Bible says that Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead to pay for all our sin, not just the ones we can't fix. So just come to him like the lady and touch the end of his garment. He's walking. She touches right here, and the power, she didn't even touch him. It was his clothes. But it really wasn't the touch. It was her faith. Look what it says next. It says, verse 33, the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told the whole truth. Let me guess what she said. Say guess. My opinion means what?
Nothing.
It means nothing, so I'm going to guess. She's going to say, Jesus, I've been bleeding for 12 years. I went to the doctors. I've had people been talking about me for 12 years. I can't go to synagogue. I'm unclean religiously. I've been ostracized. They've been calling me names. I've been feeling like less than, unworthy, not enough, not acceptable. And I heard how much you love the unlovable and touch the untouchable, heal the unhealable. I've heard how you have done what no one else can do. And I had faith that maybe you really were God and maybe you would accept me. But I wasn't sure, and I came up behind you. Because for me, an unclean person to touch a rabbi, a clean person, was against the law for me to do. Because here's the thing. If you were unclean and you touched somebody, they became unclean. But here's what she said, and I'm guessing here's what she believed. I believe, Lord, that you were the Lord, that if I touched you, you wouldn't become unclean from my uncleanness, but I would become clean from your cleanness. Oh, when you touch God, you can't make God bad. You can't make God dirty. When you touch God, his righteousness comes on you. It swallows up your flaws. And you can bring all your junk to God. That's why people talk about, I got to defend Jesus' name. No, you don't. You don't need to defend Jesus. All the criticism on Christ will never change who he is. What you need to do is come to him and bring all your junk and let his grace swallow all your sin. That's what he does. That's good news. Look what it says. It says, daughter. Everyone say daughter. Oh, he didn't call her what name she might have been called. He called her daughter, son, my beloved, my child. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Number three, God's grace determines fabulous value. You know that God is the one who has determined you to be fabulous. I mentioned in the beginning that you're fabulous because you're made in the image of God. Guess who gave that to you? God. Guess who gave you your skills? God. Guess who gave you a smile? God. Guess who gave you intelligence? God. Or your lack thereof. He gave that to you for a reason. Sometimes being ignorant is a good thing. Amen? Sometimes you're more blessed not to know things that you know. Guess who made you fabulous? God. And God not only says, I created you fabulous, I'm the one who wants to invest in your fabulousness. I'm the one who wants to accentuate your fabulousness. I'm the one who wants to adopt your fabulousness. And by the way, bring your flaws to me. I wanted that too. In a minute, we're going to pray, and your opportunity, like this woman, is to say, Lord, I'm bringing my sin to you. I want to touch the edge of your garment. I want to be healed of my affliction. Your affliction may not be physical. It's spiritual. I want you to fill my heart with your peace and your love. And Lord, I acknowledge that I do not deserve it. By the way, not only do you not deserve it, you can never earn it and you can never pay it back. It's a gift. That's the great thing about it. It's a gift. You just receive it and you hold it and you share it. Let it flow through you. God's grace. He accepts you even though you're not acceptable, and he makes you acceptable just by the fact that he accepts you. Period. You are flawed. Oh, yes. And you are fabulous. Oh, yes. At the same time. And what God's going to do is that your fabulousness will soon overtake your flaws. And there will be things that you do now that you won't do later. There are things that you think about now that you will not think about. Things you fear now you won't fear. You will actually change. But you have to come to him that he may heal you of your affliction. So let's all bow our heads and pray. And listen very carefully. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you love us unconditionally. We thank you that you cover our flaws with your grace. And Lord, we thank you that we don't have the burden of fixing ourselves, that we will be worthy of your love. As you listen to my voice, if you're in North County, you're watching online, you're here in Point Loma, and you realize you're like this woman. You have an issue of some sort. It's not getting any better. Nothing can take it away as much as you try. And you heard about Jesus, his love, his forgiveness, his power, and you want to touch the hem of his garment that you may be healed, you may be forgiven of your sin. Pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart, a prayer, a confession, acknowledging that you are surrendering your flaws, your shame to a living God. In the privacy of your heart, pray, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. And I know my sin is wrong. And I know that Jesus died and rose from the dead. And that he loves me. Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Please heal my affliction. I want to be saved. I want to receive salvation. I want to receive encouragement today. I want to understand how you made me fabulous. Thank you, God. As the eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand up if you prayed that prayer. If you're in North County, when I ask people here to stand, I want to ask you to stand. There's going to be someone there who's going to pray with you. If you're watching online, we want you to click right on your screen and let us know that you pray. We want to follow up with you. So eyes closed, heads bowed. If you prayed that prayer and you're saying, yes, Lord, I want to touch the hem of your garment. I want to be healed of my affliction. I want to be forgiven. I'm just going to ask you right now to stand to your feet and acknowledge his forgiveness in your life. Acknowledge his touch in your life. Just stand to your feet. God bless you. Stay standing. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. We see you all over. We see you in the balcony.